God is here and I know he is Jesus. Somebody's here, you all join in, and I know he's my Lord. Somebody's here and I know he is Jesus. Somebody's here and I know he's my Lord.
Do you know, we were blessed, Tim and I, with a lot of spiritual mums and dads. One of our dads was Pastor Eddie Turpin, and I can still to this day, when I hear that song, I can hear Pastor Eddie belting that song out, and I just love it, and they still sing it great out there at Pinnacle. Okay, if you just want to sit down for a moment. Now, you've all just had a feed, so we just decided that we needed a little bit of a game, and Belinda and Tiffany are going to lead this game, and they'll tell you what it is in a moment.
Good morning, everyone. So our little game is Never Have I Ever Had, and there's going to be a sentence. So we're all going to stand, and if you've never done this, you shall remain standing. So it's going to be the last woman who stands, and we'll get a prize. Okay, to begin with, never have I ever lied to get out of going to work. Who's Chuck Sickies when they're not sick?
21, Helen,
we're out. I'm proud of you, Helen. We're co-sisters. Okay, next question. Never have I ever been sick on public transport. Okay, never have I ever lied to someone in this room. Did Mother lie to you? Never have I ever lied to someone in this room. And if you both lie to each other, you have to sit down. Yeah. You've never have I ever lied to someone in this room. So it's never have I ever, okay? Okay, Mobby. Never have I ever shoplifted. Oh, you are all so good. Never have I ever been refused entry to a club. You are all beautiful souls. Never have I ever had a broken bone. Ouch. That would have hurt. No. Okay. It might be this one, Anna. Never have I ever kissed a celebrity. Okay. I've obviously lived a different life.
Have you guys all kissed?
No, they haven't. But I have. I kissed John English back in the day. Showing my age. Okay. Oh, so cheeky. Never have I ever trespassed. You were up there, Phyllis. Never have I ever cheated on a test or exam. Oh, there's a few flashbacks coming, isn't there? Okay, next question. Never have I ever lied in this game. Never have I ever Googled my own name. I have. There's a Belinda Hodge in London and she's a model. Don't know her from a bar of soap. Never have I ever forgotten where I parked my car. Anna, you're the last one standing.
Thank you, girls. I said to them the other day, I said, what are those questions? Because some of our backgrounds are different than some of yours. True.
Very much so.
Especially when we come from the country way out west. Okay. Thank you. Because Tiffany's done, and I'd like to keep Tiffany and Tiff. You want to come up here? We're just going to pray for you going up there this afternoon. Tiffany's going up to celebrate her dad's surprise birthday party. My dad's brother, sorry, Don. Father, We bring our sister Tiffany before you. And we do pray for Travelling Mercies this afternoon as she goes up to that special birthday party. And we just pray that everything will be right at home. All the animals will look after themselves. And Father, we do truly pray that this woman can have a wonderful time with her family. We thank you for her being here today and encouraging us. In Jesus' name. Tiffany's kind of just, Tiffany walks out, it's not because you've done something, it's just because she has to go and special birthday party. Okay, now, you're going to have to put your singing hats on again. We have got a song as our guest speaker, Ruth Orba Elderly, comes up and gives us a message, and then after that message we'll have another song. Now these songs are a little different because we have videos with them. Because we wanted to, well, most of them are, one hasn't. So Ruth, you come up please.
Good morning, church. It's good to see you all here. First of all, I'd like to share what the Lord told me. Jesus is coming soon. The Lord is coming soon. So we've got to prepare for his coming. He's coming back for our spotless bride. No one knows the day or the hour, but we have to be ready. Also, I did share this before. The Lord told me to tell his people. He said, I have come with my light, but no one has opened the door for me. There's only a little light left. That's what the Lord Jesus said. So he's the light of the world. And I believe he's talking about his word. We got to submit to the word of God. And the word will cleanse us and purify us. And he said, if you love me, you will obey my word. And God is love. And so the Lord is coming back. We don't know the day or the hour. But I know, I believe he's coming back in my lifetime. Because the hint that he gave me was, if the flood wasn't coming in Noah's lifetime, I wouldn't be telling him to build the ark. That was the word of God that came to me. The flood was coming in his lifetime. So I told him to build the ark. So we all have to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Yeah, that's what I want to share. Tell you this morning that the Lord is coming back. Okay, we'll sing some songs. Yeah, thank you. Yes, you are the great I am. Lord God Almighty, we praise you and we love you. The universe speaks of you, Father. Everything is held together by your word. We exalt you in this place today. We give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Have your way today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I'm going to share about the fear of the Lord. We fear the Lord because there's none like him. We reverence the Lord because he's holy. He's the eternal, mighty God. And the scripture in Isaiah prophesied about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And he said unto us, a son is born. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Eternal Father, Everlasting Father. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. Can I have that scripture, please? And we see here, it says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of mind, and the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Here we see the seven spirits of God. It's talking about the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus took delight in the fear of God. Now think about it. Jesus himself is God. He came as the Son of God. But while he was on earth, he feared the Father. Is an example for us. We must reverence the fear of God, reverence his word, be obedient to the word of God, because the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my word. God is love, and it's a love walk for every one of us. We were created by love. We've been born of his DNA, love, the seed word of God, and they will know us by the fruit. And Jesus said, and that's next scripture. Thank you. Yeah. And Jesus said, because I love the Father, I only do what my Father tells me to do. He never, never said anything that the Father gave him. A total submission to the Word of God, to the Father. Always led by the Spirit of God. And here we see in Deuteronomy 31, 12 to 13, it says, assemble the people, men and women and children, and the foreigners residing in your tents, so that they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God, and follow carefully all the words of his law. Even today, we are here living in the last days. We must totally submit to the word of God, because the word will set you free. Well, you know, Jesus said an example, you know. He doesn't do anything without the Father telling him to do. He only do what the Father tells him. And that's what we need to do too. Every day, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And we show the Father that we love him by obeying his word. And it's for our own good, because it will set you free. The word of God will set you free if you obey it. You can live a life on this earth totally free, that the world doesn't have a hold on you, because the word of God is powerful. The word of God is Jesus himself, and it's full of the Spirit of God, full of the power of God. Think about that, the eternal power that holds the universe together. That's the word we're talking about, the Spirit of God. We have access to that. We can go boldly to the throne of grace and ask the Father whatever we need. He will hear us and he will hear it. It's our prayer. If we go to him according to his will. And in Proverbs chapter 16 verse 6 it says, through love and faithfulness sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord evil is avoided. When you fear God, you will avoid sin. And you come to know the Lord through his word. That's the only way that I know. You read the Bible and you get to know him. And the more you get to know him, you will start to reverence him and fear him. Because he's so powerful. He's so holy. He is life himself. And he's our creator. He created us. He gave us life. And he cares for us every day. God is such a loving God. He's very powerful. And sometimes we take it for granted. You know, we know that he is love. But he's so holy. Our life is in his hands. And God is coming back. The Lord is coming back very soon. He's coming back for a spotless bride. So we all have to check our lives, read the word, and if our lives doesn't line up with the word of God today, we got to obey the word of God, because we show him that we love him. He's such a wonderful Father. I mean, every day, look at his creation. God is so good. He's merciful and loving and faithful. And at the same time, he's so powerful. But the more you get to know him, you will have that holy reverence and respect and fear of him. And sin will have no part in your life. The more you get to know him and get into the word of God. That's why God said to Joshua, do not, Joshua chapter 1, thank you. The Lord said to Joshua, be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law of my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. God show us the way here. You can be successful in everything you do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. He's such a loving Father that he wants all his children to be blessed. And not only that, so that you can grow from glory to glory. And you can rule and you reign, because we are priest and king, and he's given us authority to rule and to reign. The word of God is very powerful. It will totally, totally set you free. I've seen that in my own life. And the more I get to know the Lord, the fear of God. I get the fear of God. I'm watching everything that I do, you know, because he did chastise me. And it's not a good thing. I step out of line one day and the Lord chastised me. Oh, I was trembling with fear, reverence, you know, because I know that my life is in his hand, you know. It's got the power to send me to hell or heaven. Yeah, so this was when while I was living in Kent, I did something and the Lord chastised me. And praise God that he chastised his children because he loves us, you know. And it's a journey we all take. God is such a merciful God. He's a loving God. And he loves us all. And he wants all of us to be with him for eternity. I mean, he's given us life. He's given us eternal life. And he wants us to be with him and just love him for who he is. God is so good. And when I see this scripture about the Lord Jesus fearing the Father, think about that. He took delight. He took delight in fearing the Father. I mean, in John chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is the Word of God. He's God himself. While he was here, he feared the Father. So we got to really check our hearts, whether we fear him or not. If we don't, there's something wrong. It's a warning sign. You have to ask the Lord to give you a fear. I pray that, Lord, give me a reverence and fear of you. You know, because sometimes we forget, we do things, and then we realize that we've done a mistake. So ask the Lord to give you that reverence and the fear of him. He will show you things that, wow, it's just going to blow your mind up, you know, because he's so powerful. He's so powerful. I'll give you an example. Like one time, the Lord showed me this fire. And, you know, the dust storm, when it comes from the, you know, you see the storm coming. Well, this is fire. The fire was coming. And nothing was in the way of the fire. And I looked and I said, oh, that's my God. He's a consuming fire. And the fire was a wall of fire, very high. And it kept coming, and it kept coming. And then right to where I was, and I couldn't do anything. So I said, Lord, I commit my spirit to you. And the Lord took me supernaturally up where the fire was, and I was walking on top of the fire. And it was a moment. I had to watch everything I think in my mind or in my heart, because I was in his holy presence, and I thought, I don't want to sin in here. I had to really watch myself, because I didn't know how deep the fire was. Like when you're on top of the water, out in the ocean, you don't know how deep it was like that. It was scary, but it was a holy moment. And I believe the Lord was showing me that, because I'm holy, you got to reverence and walk in holiness and submit to my word. It was a very, very scary moment. And the next minute, you know, I was back to normal. And I thought, wow, God is so holy. And he's a loving father. And he loves us all. He wants the best for all of us, you know. And it's a love walk. We are blessed because he has brought us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God. And so the Lord Jesus is a great example for us. Proverbs 10:27. The next four scriptures are Proverbs. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the ears of the wicked are cut short. 14. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. 16 and 19. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. When you fear the Lord, you will turn away from sin. You'll do your very best not to sin against God. Because we know that sin brings death. The wages of sin is death. And it's good, it's healthy to fear the Lord. Okay? 16 verse 6. Thank you. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Yeah, so that's the fear of the Lord I was going to share this morning. It's very healthy to fear the Lord, and you can ask him to give you reverence and a fear of him. He will teach us his word and lead us and guide us into all the truth, because he's so powerful. I mean, you look at his creations. all his creation speaks of the revelation of God. And if Jesus fears the Father while he was here on earth, who are we? Think about that. Who are we not fearing God? Because the Lord is definitely coming back. He's coming back, church. So we all have to be ready. Check our lives with the word of God, that it lines up with the word of God. He will come like a thief in the night. So we have to be ready every day. If you fall short of sin or anything, confess, ask God to forgive you, repent straight away. Do not go to bed not repenting. Don't hold things in your heart. You got to forgive people. You forgive people and he will set you free and you will be ready for the coming of the Lord. Because we see that Jesus, I was thinking about the Lord Jesus. You know, he's Lord, God Almighty, the creator of the universe. The Bible says that in the book of Hebrews. He created everything. And the whole universe is held together by the word of God. That's how powerful he is. And when he came here as a man, he lived on earth. He feared the Father. We just read in the book of Isaiah, the seven spirits of God. He was operating in that. The book of Revelation talks about the seven spirits of God. And Jesus was operating on that. And yet, he took delight in fearing the Father. So I want all of us to think about that, and we all have to be ready for his coming. He's a loving God, and it's by the grace of God, and by the mercy of God that we are here today. You know? And before you were all born, God knew each and every one of us. It's not an accident that we are here today. This is divine appointment. God made this day so we can come and learn about the fear of the Lord. And I've never had people talk about the Lord Jesus, that he took fear in fearing the Father because he loved the Father. He respected him. Think about that. Pause for that. Think about that. You can read it when you get home. And so when I read that, I said, wow, you know, who am I? You know, I got to totally submit to the word of God because I love the Father. And I know you all do. That's why we're all here today. We all love the Lord very much because he's such a loving, loving Father. Every day he gives us life, air to breathe, water to drink, food to eat, clothes to wear. You know, he looks after us. He takes care of us. God is a loving God. We are blessed that he has saved all of us for such a time as this. But then we got other people that Phyllis was saying, we got to encourage them in the Lord too, you know, because this our brothers and sisters out there too. And we just got to make sure that we obey the word of God because we love him. God is love. And it's an exciting walk, church. It's an exciting walk when you walk in the will of God. Words cannot describe it, that the world cannot give you. Only you will experience that when you fear the Lord and walk with him. It will take you on a journey that is just going to blow you away. And as you grow from glory to glory, you keep walking with him. And we're going to be with him for eternity. Think about that. For eternity. So we better start cleaning our act together now while we're here. Because of his grace and mercy and his love that has brought us all here today. And I just want to encourage us, continue with a walk in the Lord. And he's a loving Father. He's a merciful Father. He will forgive you once you confess your sins. Because the wages of sin is death. So we don't want to go there. You know? He's already given us eternal life. So we show him we love him. We love him by obeying his word. And the fruit of the Spirit, will walk in the fruit of the Spirit, and the world will know that we are his sons and daughters, because he's a good, good God. And there's no one else like him. Yeah. And so when Philip asked the Lord Jesus, said, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's the Almighty God. The Bible says that in Isaiah and in Hebrews chapter 1. And in John, there's so many scriptures about the Lord Jesus, you know, before he came on this earth. When I first found out in Hebrew that he's the creator. I didn't know that before. He's the creator of everything that we see. And everything is held together by him. I didn't know that. But as I read the word, I'm gradually getting to know him. And you all will do too. And I think one thing we need to do is to prioritize our life. Put the word of God first place in our lives. And seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything else will be added to you. And I mean, when they look at it, he's the God that runs the whole universe. You can commit your life to him and walk with him. And he will never leave you. He'll never forsake you because he loves us all. And he's coming back. The Lord is coming back. I believe in my lifetime. I don't know the day or the hour, but he keeps telling me he's coming back. So we all have to be ready for his coming and have that reverence and fear of him and abide in his word. And obey his word, because that's a lovely show of him. Thank you. That's all. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, that your word is light unto our faith. We thank you, Father, for circumcising our hearts and our ears. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear the times and the seasons that we're living in. You are coming back very soon, and you're coming back for a spotless bride. And today, Father, we're here listening to your word. Help us to submit to your word. Help us to do your will. Father, you said, ask and you will receive. And I pray for everyone here today, all our loved ones, all our family, and the body of Christ as well. That, Father, we can support one another, help one another, most of all, like Mary, keep our eyes on your word and be the doer of the word, Father, because we love you, Father God. We ask you to do a quick work in each and every one of us, our families, our loved ones, and our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your love towards us every day. Thank you for your faithfulness towards us every day. You have brought us this far. And you are faithful and true to your word. You said you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. And what you have started in each and every one of us, you will complete. And we thank you for that. We give you praise and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ruth. Ruth came all the way from Brisbane. She's a very instrumental part of this day. The Lord really told us to bring this lady. She comes and worships with us whenever she's up here. One of our ladies, Sherry, gave me this poem. And I'd just like to read it before Belinda comes up. It's called Accept the Grace. Trying, always trying to earn it. That's no lie. But living feels like dying if you can't accept the grace. Though we know his favour, it's always there to savour, but back and forth we waver. See the smile on Jesus' face. We can't make him love us more. His love flows like an endless shore. We should know it to the core. His favour can't be earned. And nothing read we ever do can diminish mercy tried and true. Never lessens his love for you. It's the best thing that we have learned. Grace that saves and grace that heals. Grace that grabs us in the fields. Gives us life, his spirit seals. It came at the right time. Grace that tells us we're okay. Grace that shows us God's best way. Grace that keeps us strong to stay. It's there for every climb. And that little poem was taken from Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Lord, help us receive and celebrate your grace in Jesus' name today. Amen. Now, we've got another lady. Now, Linda has had the microphone, but now she's going to give us her testimony.
Hello.
Yay!
Welcome everyone to our humble little church.
And what a beautiful morning it has been. Singing's been resonating. It's been wonderful. I wanted to share with you encouragement, reassurance, and second chances. This is what the Lord has provided me and to you too. I just want to keep you inspired. So recently, I went through personal contents of mine, which was stored for 6 years. I discovered many things about myself, how I've changed over the years, what is important to me now compared to then, especially reading diaries I had written, including my conversations and prayers to God. It was only till I moved to Atherton 5 years ago I met Phyllis, then started taking God more seriously. Phyllis told me her husband, Tim, was a pastor, which started me asking a lot of questions that led me to church and being baptised. Yes, so new beginnings and a second chance. So when I looked through my personal diaries, I was reminded how my faith has grown. My friendships have expanded and growing in God's word. Today I also want to share with you another area of my life before I came here to Atherton. I grew up in Central West New South Wales, with a family being farmers producing wheat, sheep and cattle on our land. In the early 1990s, we changed our land to an orchard of 3,000 olive trees. We had 8 different varieties of olives, produced our own extra virgin olive oil, and selling to local and Sydney markets. One of my most fondest memories I have is walking through the olive grove, seeing rows and rows of olive trees, and they were all heading towards the horizon. You could see bright blue skies and touching the leaves of the trees as I walked by. No one else was in sight, just nature and I and the gentle breeze and warm sunshine. I was thinking of Jesus whilst doing this, imagining how he had walked through olive groves in Jerusalem and throughout Israel. Olive trees he had created. This memory still touches my heart today. Remember what Jesus said in John 15, verse 4 to 7. Remain in me as I always remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You see, I always honour how our Lord provides for us, especially when we remain in him, and he will always provide, including the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In the early 2000s, we had to sell our farm due to drought. Obviously, my family was devastated and we had to sell, but it was an intergenerational farm through our family over 100 years. But our Lord always provides hope, understanding, wisdom as we had to move on. We're all challenged by difficult circumstances. I came to understand our security rests in him. We sometimes may feel we are walking a tightrope, but there is safety. There is a safety net underneath us in his everlasting arms. There's a devotional written by Sarah Young from Jesus' Calling. Strive to trust in me in more and more areas of your life. If you believe I am sovereign over your life, it is possible to trust me in all situations. So here I am, always in new beginnings, new friendships, seeking a new career, new health, new learnings in my personal life and with our Lord, especially in his word, growing my faith, trust and relationship in him. I'm taking one step at a time, learning to lean on him more and more, learning to trust Jesus with all my heart and mind for new beginnings and second chances. David said in Psalm 52 verse 8, "But I am like an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever." This also got me thinking about the attributes of Jesus and an olive tree. And you think about the parable, like an olive tree, which can live for hundreds of years, even thousands of years, is strong and robust. It will not be uprooted in the house of God. Perhaps the most well-known symbolic biblical connotation for the olive is peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The Lord of the vineyard is Jesus. The vineyard is the world. The olive branches are groups of families or people, and the olive fruits are the lives and the works of the people. An olive tree can represent the nation of Israel, and its roots, the pure gospel. So in summary, this is my prayer to you all. May God bless you in abundant fruit. May your faith continue to grow deep. May he keep you in his holiness in all his ways, with love, encouragement, hope and second chances. God bless you all. Amen. Thank you.
I love that song of Belinda, 10,000 Reasons. We're going to ask Janice to come up now, and she's going to do her testimony.
I was supposed to be on after lunch, and I thought, oh, that's a really tough gig. No one ever wants to talk straight after lunch because everyone goes to sleep. So did I mind coming up now? I went, well, whatever. My testimony. Mine's, I guess, my salvation testimony. Tim, can you put that scripture up, please, in Proverbs? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear from the Lord and depart from evil. I could probably just sit down now and let it go, but I'll expand a little bit. I feel truly, truly blessed. I'm a country kid, basically. Grew up on a farm. My mum died when I was fairly young, 5 years old, and my father knew nothing about the poultry industry, so it was a tough gig, to say the least. And some 50 years ago now, because I was only a teenager at the time, so I have lasted, I was in a family situation where a lot of my relatives were nominal Christians or nominal nothings or hypocrites or atheists or you name it. But my second stepmother was a very devout woman, and she was awesome. Absolutely the most wonderful woman ever. And how she ever put up with my father, I will never know, but she did. And through circumstances, like Belinda was saying about leaving a farm because of circumstances, we too, with this is in Auckland, poultry deregulation and things, we had to move. And the irony of it all, and I guess time and time again over the years, I've learnt how the Lord is looking after you, basically. Whether you choose, you've got free will choice, but whether you choose to acknowledge it or do anything about it is entirely up to you. And as a kid, I didn't know what was going on, but my father was more of the atheist leaning because he never got over my mother dying. And but it was through him and people he had known that we ended up buying a property and moving. And they had become spirit-filled Christians. And the lady in the house had actually been healed from rheumatoid arthritis. And this was a lady who, in her mid-30s, was so ill she used to have to sleep with braces on her legs so her legs didn't bend during the night. And the Mankin boating family, and the sea had to be perfect before she could go out onto the water. But I ended up staying with this family, and only 2 doors away from us. And I found it really weird because they actually liked each other. And I wasn't used to being in a family where you did anything except work. You're on a farm, you work. You go to school, you come home, you work. You know, that's what you do. And that was normal. So here with this family was out scuba diving and, you know, water skiing, something I never mastered. And I'm watching this lady who's had rheumatoid arthritis, and she's water skiing and she's diving. And she still had the x-rays, and she used to pull out her x-rays and show the deformities. And I'm seeing this woman who's still got deformed hands, but she could do anything pretty much. Anyway, it was my stepmother who, as I said, was a very devout lady. She'd been brought up in a family in East Africa with a lot of missionary influences. She read her Bible every day. But then she started listening to what Faye was saying, and she went along and she got baptized, and she became spirit-filled, speaking and spoke in tongues. And as a teenager, my logic was, this woman's never been wrong about anything, even when she's told me stuff I don't want to hear, because teenagers get told lots of stuff they don't want to hear. So why would she be wrong about this? And it was at that point that I started listening and was pretty stunned at what I heard. Still dragged my feet because, like my father, I am, and still probably am, incredibly stubborn. And I research everything to the nth degree. Anyway, I was finally baptized. And I was blessed that there are a lot of gifts that we can get. In my case, one of the most precious gifts I have is the Lord gave me that the Holy Spirit and manifest in the ability to speak in tongues. So I can pray when I don't know what I want to pray for. I've got no idea. I can at least just pray in tongues and go, Lord, it's all yours. Take it. You know, you look after my prayers. And over the years, I can say the Lord has really, really helped me. And that lean not to your own understanding. Like I said, I've always analysed stuff, And once I got back to it, I thought, oh, this is good, this is cushy, this is cool. Everything's going to be just tickety-boo and life's going to be an absolute blast. And I'd always preferred animals to people because, well, I just did, basically. because you could, animals had no hidden agendas. You knew what you had and, you know, and that was that. But, and so I thought I wanted to be a vet surgeon. Seemed like a good idea at the time. Now, I could not have bombed out more in the pre-exams if I had tried. I was a disaster. Everything that could have gone wrong in those exams went wrong. And I was, as a teenager, late teens, Lord, this wasn't supposed to happen. What's going on? You know, you were supposed to do this, this, and this. Again, it was this thing here, this brain, that was kicking in. And, but I learned that there are always moments in time in the Lord that stuff happens that flip the switch. It's like a circuit breaker or, you know, when your fuse box trips, you just flip that switch up and suddenly everything's good again. And on one particular day, that started to happen to me. And it took me on a slightly different path. I won't go into it because it would bore you to tears and take forever. But I ended up in an allied field, in a field I thoroughly enjoyed, working in, with wildlife, working in zoos. I got to do a course. I was in the first group in the Southern Hemisphere to get have the opportunity to do. It's now a global standard. Just stuff happened. Amazing things happened over those years. Yes, I have an appreciation of what Noah went through on the ark. I'll admit that. And I've got a few things I want to talk to him about one day. Because working with wildlife has its challenges, shall we say. But the Lord helped me on so many occasions. And it wasn't that he solved a problem for me. He gave me the resources to deal with it. And it was things as simple as, and it's as clear as if it was yesterday, I'm standing in the middle of nowhere and I feel something tap me on the shoulder. Now, we were always practical jokers where I worked, so I thought somebody was having a go at me and I had a 3/4 inch hose and I was going to turn around and blast them with this hose. And I spun around, nobody, it was like from here to the road out there, not a soul. But what I did see coming towards me was a potentially uncomfortable situation, which was a very upset hippo. And hippos will kill you, and she particularly, ironically, her name was Faith, believe it or not. And but by turning around at that moment, I was able to use the resources God had given me, aka my legs, to run and get out of that situation. People, were, public were filming this. They seemed to think it was some game. You know, I'm laying on the ground trembling, saying, thank you, Lord, because if I'd not turned at that moment, I certainly wouldn't be standing here today. But just stuff over the years, life happens, good stuff, bad stuff. I was at a function once, just a couple of stories, in East Africa, and like acknowledge the Lord, you know, he'll direct your path. And I'm standing there, and it was, my uncle was a diplomat, and he spoke fluent Swahili, and he's explaining a safari we'd been on. And we'd had a couple of interesting events on that safari, including a blowout and a near rollover. We didn't roll over, but we could have. And 6 people had been killed on that same section of road the week before with exactly the same accident, type of accident. Anyway, I'm standing, and I'm hearing the odd word that I understood, so I figured what he was saying to this government minister, Tanzanian government minister. And out of the blue, this guy turns and looks straight at me, like there's 3 or 4 of us, looks straight at my face and he says, God must be with you, not to anyone else. Just, and I went, oh, well, yeah, actually he is, you know. But it was just that recognition in his eyes of the story he was being told by my very atheistic uncle, that the only way we could have got out of all the situations we'd been in, a riot, charged by rhinos, you know, blow out tyres, that sort of stuff, was through God. Just being a God. Well, not yet. You'll come home one day, but just not yet. And just paths, you know. You stop at lights, for example, which happened to me, and the light went green. Now, normally, I don't hang around. Light's green, I'm gone. And I hesitated, and I hesitated enough to say, Lord, why don't I put my foot on the accelerator? So those seconds, it was enough for me to say those words, and a guy ran the red light, it was 80 kilometres an hour, I would have been totally history. but my foot just didn't go down. And I can just praise the Lord. I could go on and on forever, but I wouldn't bore you with that. Anyone wants any other anecdotes, happy to share them. But I have learned that nothing in your own understanding. I tell you, I only get in trouble when I let this thing kick in, you know, and when I try to rationalise it and reason it out. I had a challenge with cancer twice, well, two major ones, and even the specialists in Brisbane have got me on a list where they pass my phone number on to other people who are going through the same surgery so they can ring me to talk to me rather than to their social workers, because they said, oh, the way you handled it. I'm going, well, it wasn't me. You know, and three times that's happened, and three times they have been women who had been in a fellowship and had slipped away a little bit and were looking to the Lord to help them through the process of what one had to go through for this particular type of cancer, because it's deemed a rare cancer. So that's, on three occasions, that's occurred from a third party, if you like, who've sent them to me. So, and even a specialist here in Cairns said to me, oh, would you mind if I keep your email and your number so if I get anyone else like going through that, they can call you and talk to you. So, you know, just stuff like that. And 50 years, so many things have happened, like from that point of view, and you just look back and you go, well, I didn't get it at the time. I gave it my best shot, you know, like even jobs, you know, you apply for a job and say, Lord, this seems like a good job. I think it seems like a good job, but if you don't think it's a good idea, then that's fine. I won't get it. All I ask is you let me know quick that it's not for me, and then I'll move on to something else. And if it is for me, can you let me know quick too? Because I don't want to be waiting around wondering, have I got the job? Have I got the job? The last job I had, which I had for 14 years, and I prayed that prayer, and I said, Lord, I know it's kind of a government job, and normally 3 weeks is a good time frame, 4 or 5 weeks. You know, I'd really like to know that 3 week time frame. I timed it. It was 20 minutes from when I got in the car to when my mobile went and I pulled off the road, because I don't talk on the phone while I'm driving. And the lady on the other end tested me for that. She said, I hope you've pulled off the road. I said, yes, I have. It was 20 minutes before they offered me a job, $10,000 more than had been the figure I had said I was going to accept. So, and again, it just, the Lord is just always there. But one final thing before we get onto the song, one of my favourite songs, is as a little tacker, before all this started to happen, kids are smarter than some adults think they really are. They see hypocrisy in adults. They see confused messaging. But I always believed there was a creator. And I can still see myself as a seven-year-old sitting down by a creek, looking up at the sky, talking to God. That's never left me. Or, you know, like somebody gave me some jewelry once that was the shape of a snowflake. And just the intricacy of if you just Google snowflake, the intricacy of a snowflake. You know, there has to be a creator. I even got slammed by a teacher once because she had to give me a B+ because I argued an assignment against evolution. And I backed it up with actual scientific papers, which drove her nuts because she had to acknowledge that I had actually argued a case on science, that it was a crock. And again, I just look around like, and, you know, he will, you know, direct your paths. I look at where I am now. There's no way I'd be here, but I couldn't think of anywhere where I'd rather be than right here. And I just praise the Lord every moment of every day.
Nothing compares to the promise that we have in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Sarah's the other one that was mentioned in when Angie was talking. If you want to do a nice craft thing, you might like to do something for someone to give them. Rose has got a beautiful selection of craft over there, so you might want to just do that. We're going to have an hour for lunch. There's plenty of food, so please eat it. You don't need to eat tonight. And we'll come back at 1 o'clock. When you hear that song, thank you, Sarah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. come before your throne of grace and we say thank you, Father God, for these lovely ladies, Father God, as we come before your throne of grace. Father God, you are the creator of heaven and earth. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father God, we say thank you for your word. We say thank you for all the testimonies, oh God. And Lord Jesus, we say thank you for these beautiful ladies to come and sit at your feet today, Father God, to listen to your word. Father, we pray that you would write your word in the tablet of our hearts, oh Lord. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you revive our spirit, being to rise up as Deborah and Esther and Hannah, the woman in the Bible, Father God. We pray that, Lord Jesus, that we would reach out, that we would launch out from here to witness your name. Jesus, as your word in Acts 1:8 says that, Lord, our purpose on earth to witness your name, Lord Jesus, from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Lord Jesus, you know our hearts here today. You know, you see our hearts and our life, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, you would heal our hearts, oh Lord, that you would bring us closer to you, Lord Jesus, that we would not fall away from you, Lord. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for divine appointment and for your word. Lord Jesus, as we are about to receive the physical food, Lord Jesus, we pray, God Almighty, thank you for your provision of food, for this lovely food and lovely people and lovely flowers, God. Show us your love, oh God, and just continue to love us. Show us your love, Lord Jesus. And we say thank you that you would bless this food in our bodies right now, Lord. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would sanctify, purify with your blood before we partake. Lord Jesus, bless each and every one of us today as we enjoy the meal. Father God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.